Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small-town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Today we're going to be discussing part two, which is really just the last two remaining parts of the Ten Commitments. The reason I wanted to discuss this was Louisiana had instituted a law that they had to post the Ten Commandments in schoolrooms in Louisiana, and I think a lot of people see that as the church, separation of church and not church and state, but yes, church and state, they should not have to have that. There are just too many other groups and too many other people who may not be Christians who should not have to be exposed to that or should be able to have their own beliefs posted. And so I found this Ten Commitments that has been floating around on the internet, and it came from a group called American Humanist Center for Education.org, if you're interested in finding that yourself and looking into this more. Again, that's American Humanist Center for Education.org. And they are the Ten Commitments. And there were the two that I did not get to the previous episode. The ninth one is critical thinking. I think this is so important in our current environment today. I will practice good judgment by asking questions and thinking for myself. Big, big, big one. Especially during this heightened political activity, we become more aware of who gets their news from just one source and who gets their news from a variety of sources. I've always been one to check out. I don't as much anymore because there are just not as many print magazines to find. But I used to love to. I would read Newsweek and Time magazine and People magazine and the entertainment magazines and all this. And now that the internet is here, there are so many places that you can find reliable information. But there are so many people that are so mistrustful of the media. And this, it's funny to me, they always talk about the media being slanted one way or the other. Well, I don't know. I believe that as long as we've ever had media, there's been a slant. You're going to have, my dad was a Democrat and he was a farmer. And he read Prairie Farmer magazine and he wouldn't let his kids be involved in anything to do with 4-H because he said that was a Republican run organization. He just wouldn't let us be involved in anything to do with 4-H. And so I think every media outlet, every magazine, every newspaper, every news station, they're going to have a political leaning. You're going to have a what you support and what you don't support. I mean, you can be less biased and be a little more open to interpretation about things, but I think generally media has supported one belief over another. It's just the nature of the beast, in my opinion. You can be open-minded and show both sides of a story, but if you're totally slanted, and we have a lot of those outlets today, or should I say just a few, that are so slanted and people watch, if you watch only one outlet and have one source of your news and one source of your information, you become indoctrinated to what they're telling you, whether it's true or not. You just, when you're fed a steady diet of fear and hatred and ugliness and bitterness toward your fellow man, that's what you're going to take out of it. And so that's why I like to get my news from a variety of sources. Because somewhere in the middle of all that, if you get from more than one source, somewhere in the middle of all of that is the truth. But you've got to ferret it out. You've got to think for yourself and come to some logical conclusion. because the world is not all black, it's not all white, it's not all Democrat, it's not all Republican, it's not all liberal, it's not all conservative. It's right in the middle there. And in this country, we should support one another. We are, as Matthew McConaughey had said one time, we're not as divided as we have been led to believe that we are. I think that's the quote. It's pretty close anyway. But the point is, you know, we're not as far apart as people have led us to believe. I had a friend, I'd posted something on Facebook, and he came along with a different point of view. And we talked about it. We talked about it back and forth in a civil manner. We posted, you know, we're respectful of one another. You know, he didn't call me an old boomer, and I didn't call him a you know, whatever. We just, you don't do that. You talk like you would talk to somebody in the coffee shop, or like you would talk if you're out going for a drink, or if you're going for lunch. You're talking to a person face to face. This ugly nastiness and this hatefulness is just not necessary. And you know, you do. If your mind is open, you can see, okay, well, maybe there is some merit to what this person is thinking. And maybe my thinking is not quite what it should be. Maybe I'm the one that needs to change my thought. And that's happened a lot. I mean, how do you grow and your mind change? How do you evolve? You just can't. If you're stuck and you're not thinking for yourself, if you let somebody else do all the thinking for you, you're screwed. I don't know any other way to put it. And so critical thinking, I think, is very important, especially in the climate that we're in right now. And last one I want to discuss of the 10 commitments is altruism. Altruism. I will help others in need without hoping for a reward. That is something that I think is, you hear examples of it. It still happens. I mean, there are still wonderful giving, generous people who give of themselves, and people who don't think. Every once in a while you see people that are going to rescue somebody on the highway. If their vehicle is, you know, if they've been in an accident, people will rush to help get a trapped person out of a vehicle. I mean, not thinking of yourself. You want to help somebody, and, you know, people unite and try to help that person get out. That's altruism, you know. When you go to help for clean up from a tornado or a flood or disaster that didn't affect you personally, or even if it did affect you personally, when you reach out and help another person, that's altruism. I mean, and we had Jim Hildenberg, who is the director of the Coles County Emergency Management Agency, was on maybe two episodes ago. And he had been a volunteer fireman for over 30 years in Cook's Mills, which is just a mile down the road from where I live. And we were talking about volunteerism. And that is something that is so, so critically important. And it's down. Volunteerism is down. And I don't think we stop to think what kind of a state we would be in this country if we did not have volunteerism. And, you know, people probably don't think about it, all the things that they do being volunteerism, but it is an important part of fostering unity among people, and it's the highest demonstration of the altruistic spirit towards community welfare. It is the unselfish concern for other people, doing things simply out of the desire to help, not because you feel obligated to go out of duty, loyalty, or religious reasons. You just do it because you want to help. That is what volunteer firemen do. And I can't remember the statistic of, it's a very high, I want to say 70-75% of firefighters in this country are volunteers. So, and they're doing that out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because they want to help their fellow man. You know, when you go in to donate blood, you have no idea who's going to be on the other end of that, who's going to be the person that they stick that needle in or that they put in into an individual. You don't know if that person is a Democrat or Republican, a conservative or a liberal. You don't know, and you shouldn't care. Because when the time comes that you're the person who's on the other end needing that blood, do you really care? Who gave that blood? Who laid down on that table for 20 minutes and pumped that blood into a bag? Do you really care what their political affiliation was? Do you care what their color was? Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. What matters is somebody did take time out of their day to go and donate blood. It doesn't cost anything. And it makes me feel good. It's one of the things I can do. My dad was a donor. He donated a lot of blood. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And there are so many places to volunteer besides just donating blood. There are animal shelters. When I was fired from a job a few years ago, I was at such loose ends, and I was so distraught. I'd never really been fired from a job before. And I went to my friend who ran a kennel and an animal rescue. And she put me to work. She paid me $100 a week to paint for her. And so when I got back on my feet, I got a job. I mean, $100 wasn't much, trust me. But it was nice of her to do that. But after that, I had helped her before. I had done so much volunteer work for her. And you can too, be it an animal shelter or a rescue. Those people, I'll tell you, those people work their hearts out to try to spay and neuter, especially cats, because they just reproduce so quickly. And, you know, if you love an animal, you know the importance of having them spayed and neutered to keep the pet population down. And it's not a laughing matter. It's very serious. And these rescue people, they spend time, they'll trap feral animals and take them in and have them spayed or neutered, and then trap and release, trap, neuter, and release. It's very popular in many areas, very necessary. But these people are paid. These people are going in and they're doing it because they love animals and they want to help. They want these animals to be able to remain healthy and not go out and get sick and die alone off in some, you know, dark gutter or something. They want them to be able to remain healthy and be loved and give a human some companionship. So if you go and donate or donate your time, donating money is good too, but to donate and volunteer your time to go into a rescue or any facility, I guarantee you they will appreciate you. You can walk dogs. You can clean the runs. You can clean litter boxes. You can help feed the animals. And one of the most important things is to socialize these animals, because some of them have come in off the street and they're very scared. They're fearful of humans. And they, who knows what kind of a life some of them have had. And so if you can volunteer to go in and try to bond with these animals and make them trust humans, and then maybe they can find a forever home too. It's really important work, and unless you know people who are involved in animal rescue, you don't know what they go through and the pain that they go through when animals get sick or when people just let animals reproduce unnecessarily or have hoarding situations. It's heartbreaking for these people. So I guarantee you, you will have a friend for life if you go into these any animal rescue organization or a shelter. They will appreciate you. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, another wonderful organization. I've never been personally involved in that, but I do know people who are, and how important that relationship is between the big brothers and big sisters and the little brothers and little sisters. If you don't have a male, if you don't have a role model in your life and you're a young person, an impressionable person, all it takes is one individual to come into your life and totally, totally change the trajectory of your life. One person can do that. If you're floundering and you don't know which way to turn, these kids have had a horrible home life. It's hard sometimes to imagine the home life some of these children have grown up in, but it just takes one person to help them feel validated and to feel important and to give them a reason to look ahead and to become a productive member of society. That is a very important thing. It's critical. And I admire all the people who've taken time from their lives to do that. And it's a wonderful organization. And as I said, firefighters and EMTs, when Jim Hilgenberg was on here, I don't know what we would do. What would I do if my home caught fire or I had an emergency here? I've lived here 31 years, and by the grace of God, I have never had to call them for an emergency. But I've seen them go down my road numerous times. One time, a little Amish boy fell out of the haymow, and he landed on a hay hook. It landed on in his skull, landed on a hay hook. And if not for the emergency personnel coming and taking that little boy, he's fine. He recovered 100%. But can you imagine what would have happened to that little boy if they hadn't had someone here to help him? And it's all volunteerism. Volunteerism, it's down right now. We need people to step up to the plate and keep these programs going because, you know, you never know when we're going to be on the receiving end and when we're going to need help. And if there wasn't somebody there to help that little boy, he would have died undoubtedly. And another person that we've had on here was Tara Reed. Tara Reed, she's the manager of the Restore store in Sullivan, Illinois, Restore Habitat for Humanity store. Habitat for Humanity, another organization that's wonderful that you can donate your time to go in and help. You know, you can go to the store, Habitat for Humanity store, and buy something, and that money all goes toward building these homes for people who qualify for homes. And it's just to be able to go in and do something. Again, you don't know the person that you're doing it for. I guess you do in the Habitat for Humanity. You do know the person because they put in some sweat equity hours into building the home themselves. And so it's just a wonderful thing that, and these people that do it, they become a community of their own that go around and participate in these builds for these homes. And I think it's just a wonderful thing to step out, and the people that are sometimes people retired that go out and do this. You know, if you don't know how to swing a hammer, or the different things you don't know how to do, I can guarantee you they will find a job that you can do and do safely. And they would appreciate any volunteers they can get. And YMCA, we have a YMCA here in Mattoon. And I know that they would appreciate volunteers to help do the different things that they do. It's a wonderful facility and wonderful, wonderful organization, and they always welcome volunteers as well. The American Cancer Society. I don't know what they, you know, what volunteers actually do in that situation. I should have researched that one a little more, but I do know that there are probably opportunities to drive people to and from appointments to get them to things that they, places they need to be, and maybe even for treatments for chemo and that kind of thing. And I'm certain that the volunteers there do wonderful work to help any of the patients and probably to help people get appointments and to hook them up with the American Cancer Society, another wonderful organization. And our local hospital, Sarah Bush Lincoln here, I had a personal experience with that organization, the Regional Cancer Center there, where my good friend Marilyn Perryman got her chemotherapy for the last few years of her life. What a wonderful, wonderful place. Now it's full of doctors and nurses and people who are paid to be there. But there are also the other people that distribute meals, that take the snack tray around and offer you a drink. And can I get you this? And can I get you that? Those people are all volunteers. They're there out of the goodness of their heart. And they're there to help. And some of those people are cancer survivors themselves who've come in to help. So there's always an opportunity to be involved there. And I know one of my good classmates, Paula Gordon, She's a volunteer, and I hope I don't miss anybody else, but I know that I'd seen her out there at Sarah Bush as a volunteer. It's just a wonderful thing to do to help your fellow man, because there again, you know, we never know when something like that will strike us, and you'll be glad to see somebody coming in and helping you. Special Olympics. We have a huge Special Olympics event here, and I'm ashamed to say I've never been a part of it. I've seen about it and read about it. Special Olympics being formed by Eunice Kennedy Shriver. And it's a wonderful opportunity for special needs kids and adults to participate very proudly in the events that they participate in. And they are very good about matching up volunteers to these special needs people. And so you can be a buddy. And I know that we have a huge event out at Lakeland College in Mattoon every year. And that event could never happen without the help and devotion of a whole host of wonderful volunteers. And something so simple as driving a friend to appointments. I know that another guest who has been on here, David Kent Coy, good friend, wonderful, wonderful, generous man. David's a busy man, a genealogist. He takes care of his mother, and he's the most devoted, one of the most devoted people I ever have seen to taking care of his friends, his foster son, and extended family. He will always be driving somebody to an appointment to help them out. You know, it seems like such a little thing, and it is a little thing to do, but it's, you know, the appointment could be a little thing to us, it's a big thing to somebody else. Just to help. It's a very generous thing to do, to give of your time and to volunteer like that. Visiting friends in nursing facilities. I was feeling down the other day. I used to be so good about doing this, but life kind of got in my way. I used to be so good to go visit people. And the other day I was depressed, and I thought, what the heck can I do? And I thought, I know. I'll go visit my friends. I was a lady I used to work with. She's in a memory care facility, and I went out to see her, and she was having a wonderful day. She recognized me. She said my name. She looked me in the eye, and she knew me. And we had a nice visit, and she told me some stories that I'm sure weren't really on the money, but I listened to her, and we had a wonderful visit, and I contacted her daughter later and told her, you know, what had happened, and she said, you don't know how good this makes me feel, because there's days that I go there, and she doesn't even know who I am. And I thought, wow, you know, and I should do it more often. It's just sometimes we do let life get in our way. But there again, when are we going to be the ones sitting in that facility with, you know, looking at four walls and wondering who we are and who are all these people and why am I here? So to have those opportunities to see a familiar face and get a smile and a hug, it's invaluable for those people. And then I went on to see another one, a friend of mine, Ernest, who he ended up having to be in assisted care, and the last thing he wanted, but we had a wonderful visit. He's a good friend. I used to work with him, and again, he's not able to stay in his home right now, so he's kind of at loose ends, and to be able to look up and see a friend, it's like his eyes just lit up, and it made my heart feel good. You know, it didn't cost me any money. It cost me a little gas money to drive there. But I mean, you know, what is that? What is that versus, you know, giving somebody a lift to a day? So then I went to see a third man, and I had tried to see him last winter. But when I got to his facility, there was a note on the door saying, you know, we have a COVID patient. So, it was closed. And so I waited all these months to go back and see Don and Don Dennis, and we had the best visit. I used to go to church with Don and still keep in touch with his son, and we just talked. Well, he listened a lot, but I talked and I talked and I talked, and we laughed, and it was just the most wonderful, rewarding thing. It didn't cost me a thing. And I'm not tooting my own horn because, like I said, everybody, you know, my good friend Brenda Hall, she lost and her good friend Janice Havwick, they lost her Janice's mother, who was a second mother to Brenda, and Brenda was so devoted. Janice lives away from here, and so she was a second mother to Brenda, and they just lost Janice and Brenda's adopted mother, really Eleanor, last week. But Brenda was always there to see her. She was there for Eleanor endlessly. And, you know, it didn't cost her anything to do it. She didn't have to be there. But she did it because she cared. That is what we do. That is what we should do. Because you care. Because you have a heart. Because you have the opportunity to show another person that you care. It's empathy. It's caring. American Red Cross. And Impact Life. I give through Impact Life when I donate blood, and those people are wonderful. And I know that there'd be wonderful opportunities probably at each one of those organizations, American Red Cross, especially what they do when they have their crisis response and disaster response teams. They couldn't do any of what they do without a solid group of volunteers. And there again, I've never done that, but I know that how rewarding it must be for people that go to these affected places where, you know, one day your community is standing, you have your neighborhood, everything is as it's been for decades, and then all of a sudden you're standing amid a pile of rubble because everything has been reduced to that because of a tornado. Your life's upended. But to go in and help somebody, to offer them food, to be able to give them a blanket, to give them help them find answers, help them direct them to what agency to help them get back on their feet. It's got to be a great feeling to be able to do that. Volunteerism. It's down, and then we need to get it back up. We need to care more about our fellow man. Help at a homeless shelter. You know, we have a problem with homeless people in my town, and a lot of talk is that they're shipped in from other areas, but at this point, I guess it's irrelevant. They're still homeless people, and they still need help. There are many people that go in and cook meals for them, and that help them, you know, find clothing and just help them try to get their lives in order. That's a wonderful thing to do, too. And donate food to a food pantry. That doesn't take anything out of your day. It doesn't take anything out of your pocket. I mean, it takes a little something out of your pocketbook, but come on. I mean, you know, if you're that person that needs help that's on the other end, you can't feed your kids. Many people rely on a food pantry. And, you know, during COVID, there were so many people that during lockdown that needed help that had not needed help before. And I think once that shoe is on the other foot, and you see that could happen to you too, you know, then you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of that. I used to, we had a food pantry at our church, and it was very rewarding, very rewarding. You can volunteer at a local museum or historic site. Illinois Amish Heritage Center, Wilmer Otto. Again, speaking of Wilmer, I spoke about him the last episode. He was on our first and second episode, and then on a later one as well. Wilmer's a wonderful man, and he is instrumental in getting Illinois Amish Heritage Center going and operating, where they moved these two Amish homes that were built in the 1800s, and they still were structurally sound, and they moved them to this Heritage Center, and it's an educational place they want to preserve the Amish culture and heritage, but they want to educate people as well as to what their lives are like, to take a little bit of the mystery out of the Amish life. And they could not do what they do without a bunch of devoted volunteers to help people, especially when they have their special events three times a year. Volunteers are critical. And you get to meet so many nice people when you do this, too. When you're a volunteer, you just help out. You rub shoulders with some gems, and you want gems, G-E-M-S, and you just wonder. You know, people just can enrich your life that you never thought you would meet. And Lincoln Log Cabin, locally here, it's a state historic site. Again, all these people are volunteers. They do historic reenactments, and people assume identities of people back in Abraham Lincoln's day, and they're volunteers. Volunteers. It's something sometimes people don't realize what they're doing is volunteerism, but it is, and it's critical. Even something like donating used clothing, so people that aren't able to buy for themselves. And again, as I said in the previous episode, to recycle these things, to donate clothing that is in perfectly good shape so that it can be used again and not thrown in a landfill. That's volunteering. And conservation efforts, conservation of our land, our precious land, what we have left of it, some of it is still, very few places of it are still virgin territory, but Grand Prairie Friends, we had Sarah Livesey on from this area, two episodes talking about Grand Prairie Friends and what they do and how they preserve parts of the land that are not built on and that are pretty much virgin territory. Sarah, they cannot exist and do what they do without volunteers. And it's critical. I'm telling you, it's critical. And our military, my gosh, our military, all the people that volunteer, put their lives on the line to go out and do what they do, be it the National Guard, be it, the Army, Navy, Air Force, these people are all doing what they do to keep us safe. And we should be forever grateful to them. So, volunteer where you can. I mean, just find time in your day, find time in your week, in your heart to think outside of yourself, to think of others. What can you do to think of other people? Because life is short. It goes by in a heartbeat. And, it'd be nice. You never know. The older we get, the more we realize that, we're closer to the finish line than we are to the starting gate, and the more help we need from people, and the more you realize how important volunteerism is. And it's down in this country. And, as long as you're healthy and above ground and kicking, you got opportunities to show people that you care. So please get out there and do what you can to help your fellow man. And remember the Ten Commitments. Look it up if you'd like. As I said, the address is American Humanist Center for Education.org. And keep your minds open and your hearts open. And I hope if you enjoyed this episode, you'll come back for another one. And please tell your friends. Please go to my Life on the Illinois Prairie Facebook page. Leave a positive review or your comments. Or if you have some volunteer opportunities, I know there are many that I did not get to. If you have other opportunities, please discuss it on there with me. I'd like to know what you think. So I hope you have a good week. Thank you, and please be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.